So you may or may not know that as a family, we've been working through Galatians 5, 22-23, looking at some of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And as Rich said last week, often we as preachers find that God takes us on an internal journey. He kind of undoes us because he's actually revealing some of the truths to us before we then come and have a little chat with you. But I sit here as a work in progress. No way have I fully got this, but actually it's not about me getting it. It's about me walking with the Holy Spirit. And I'm just so thankful that God chooses the weak and the foolish of this world. So if you've been dismissing yourself, no, God doesn't dismiss you. So if you've missed any of the series before now, I would encourage you, grab a copy, go and listen to it online. Make sure that you hear Rich's introduction to the series, The Root to the Fruit. Love it. Has a little rhyme there. Because it is keeping in step with the Spirit. We do get onto kindness, honest. So Rich encouraged us last week, didn't he? Reminded us that abiding in Christ is about our Abba Father longing to have an intimate relationship with us. It's not just about superficial acquaintance. And I used to do a lot of farming. So kind of thinking back to that, if I was thinking of planting particular crops, then the type of soil became important. Some thrived in chalky soil, some liked a bit of grit, some loved clay, some loved sand. And the nutrients, the stuff in that soil, was as important as the type of soil. So potatoes, you plant them, you need to have made sure there's lots of nitrogen in the ground because they gobble it up. And it's no good once you've pulled out your potatoes, putting in another crop that loves nitrogen without actually having put some nitrogen back into the soil. And that's the same with us. You know, the kind of people that we're all unique individuals, and God knows each one of us. So how I abide in him may be very different to how Rach abides in him, to how Nate grows, because actually we're all different and we all require different kind of environments in which to thrive. So what about the fruit of the Spirit? So I got the joys of looking at kindness, okay? Kind. So here's a question for you. What comes to your mind when you hear that word kind or kindness? I've got my lovely helper to the right of me here with a microphone. So this is your opportunity to get recorded on my preach. You know, what comes into your head when you think of kindness or kind? Or for those of you that were encouraged to think on a little God story about where you've been, you've had the opportunity to either receive kindness or give it. Now is your moment to speak or forever hold your peace. Dave, I think your hand went up, didn't it?
When I think of kindness, I think of different people, where I see it.
Different people. Yep. What else?
Generosity.
Generosity.
Just loving.
Loving. What else?
Doing something nice for someone.
Doing something nice for someone. Helping okay.
People. Helping people.
Helping people. So is anyone... Oh, go on, Dave.
Caring and understanding as well.
Caring and understanding. So has anyone got a little God story of how they've given kindness or how they've received kindness? Because if you haven't, I have. Charles.
Thanks, Al. I was pre-primed for this, so I have had some advance warning. In fact, the very fact of Alan asking me to do this was an act of kindness in itself, because he says, Charles, you can do it, but keep it short and no notes.
There we are then, keep it short, Charles.
Yeah. The act of kindness I was thinking of particularly to do with Fred and Rose. They were really helpful in our whole spiritual life, but particularly they prayed into our marriage.
Yeah.
And when we were newly married and had young children, they came and babysat for us so we could go out just as a couple to nourish our marriage. So that was a real ongoing act of kindness.
Brilliant.
And commitment to us.
brilliant, praying for somebody, but actually it's not always, I say just praying, but I don't mean it as just praying. Prayer is the most powerful thing, but simply going and babysitting for somebody. Thank you. Here are some words that got put on my Facebook. Thank you to my lovely helper. Hugs. One of my friends put, a shouty mum who's almost 3-year-old suddenly says, "Mummy, be kind to my brothers. They be good boys now." Consideration, empathy, compassion for others, looking out for ways to help people, being generous, loving everyone. So my week, for different reasons, has been quite traumatic. And I got home on Thursday and I'm thinking, it's dark. And I'm thinking, I've got white stripes by my door. Better not be that flipping cat again waiting to get into my house. Not my cat. And it was a little bag. And I'm like, okay, has someone delivered something to the wrong place? It's not my birthday. What is this? Is there a bomb or some eggs in there? Because you never know in my neighbourhood. So I picked it up. Went inside and cried, actually, if I'm honest, because inside this bag was a little bottle of one of my favourite wines. There was chocolate-covered raisins, shortbread, my favourite, and those Cadbury's caramel nibbly things. And it was unexpected. Just wasn't expecting it at all. But more than that was the label that was attached to it. So if you sat here, know that you've blessed me immensely. And it just said, "Lisa, you are a blessing." So in days when you're not feeling like you are a blessing, that you're more of a curse, God's truth is we are a blessing to those around us. You are loved. You are precious. You are faithful. You are His. And just that being reminded, I am His, so stuff it, enemy, you're not getting me. My soul is well with my daddy. So little acts of kindness. So the dictionary defines kindness as that quality of being friendly, generous, considerate. We might use loads of other words like tender-hearted, goodwill, affection, gentleness, concern, care. Kindness in the Bible is actually another name for mercy. And did you know that mercy is spoken of 300 times in the Bible? I didn't sit and count it. I looked it up, Google, thank you God. 300 mentions of mercy. 176 mentions of grace. To forgive, 112 times. Oh, I sound different now. Is that all right still? Okay. And hell, 54 times. So clearly God has a significant focus on mercy and on kindness. The Greek expands on it as well. If I can read it off my slide, because I didn't put my glasses on. Bit of vainness there, I guess. So the Greek definition, the grace which pervades the whole nature, mellowing of which, mellowing all, which would be harsh and austere. If you're listening to this on the tape, I've turned my head to look at the PowerPoint. So the grace which pervades the whole nature, mellowing all, which would be harsh and austere, a tender heart and a nurturing spirit, an impossible goal in our own strength, yet attainable, but not automatic, graces for the true believer when yielded to the Holy Spirit. That is my story. If you met my late teens into my 20s, Bod, I cannot say that I would have had a tender heart and a nurturing spirit. It would have been quite the opposite, but God is at work. So when I was preparing for this, I felt God challenged me saying, look at what psychologists say about kindness and kind, before then pulling out my truths. So that's what we're going to do. The picture here says, no one wants to suffer. No one wants to be lonely. No one wants to live in fear. No one wants to lose everything. No one wants their heart ripped to shreds. No one wants to be sick. And no one wants to die. But these things happen in life, don't they? And we don't really have a lot of control over them. So the least we can do is be there for others as we would like others to be there for us. So psychologists would say simply opening your eyes and being active when you see people in need. And that action might be a kind word, might be turning up with a roast dinner, whatever it is. And psychologists say that a sense of community is created when people are kind to those who need help. Kindness is doing, so that practical action of doing. It could be a kind word, it could be a smile, Chris's God story from a little while ago. If you didn't hear it, go and ask him about it afterwards. He simply smiled to a colleague and it changed the atmosphere. Opening a door, carrying a heavy load. Celebrating someone that you love, giving honest compliments. Telling someone how he or she is special to you. How about this one? Taking a photo of someone and sending it to them. I got one Christmas, a little magnetic calendar thing from the Bulls. And it had that year on it, but it also had a picture of the boys when they were younger. And I've kept the picture on my fridge because actually I love them as a family. There's a pictorial reminder on my fridge, so I send up little prayers for them. One of the best presents ever. And kindness is that willingness to full-heartedly celebrate somebody else's successes, being happy for others, even if we're not particularly happy in where we're at. So you might think that you don't matter in this world, but because of you, someone has a favourite mug to drink their tea out of that you bought them. For me, that would be hot chocolate. And again, some of those mugs go back 20, 30 years. And when I use that mug, I'm thinking of that person. I'm giving thanks for them, celebrating the memories that we had. But they're off here, there and everywhere around the world. God knows what they need at that particular time. Someone's remembered a joke you told them and smiled to themselves on the bus. Never think you don't have an impact. If you think that you don't have an impact, it is a lie. And we get to choose whether the impact we have on others blesses or curses them. Your fingerprints can't be wiped away from the little markers of kindness that you've left behind. Telling the truth in a gentle way when doing so is helpful to the other person. I used to be so sarcastic when I was younger, and I would be, well, you've met my mum, most of you, and you know how blunt she is. I was as blunt, if not blunter, than her. You asked me a question, you got the truth in a very blunt way, whether you liked it or not. And back in my early 20s, mates of mine, two of the lads that I'd been serving on a team with, got alongside me and they were like, Lise, we love you. And we know that you love us. But when you say something in this way, this is how it makes us feel. And I was devastated because, you know, my heart wasn't to belittle them, to pull them down. It was just the way stuff came out. And I'm like, well, sorry, guys, but I'm not aware of it. So actually, when it happens again, can you give me a little signal or something? Can you explain to me? Can you help me lose that and grow in ways of speaking? And back then, if you tried to hug me, you would have got a thump in the stomach. Now, one of those lads, fast forward 15 years, was coming to the youth event that I helped run to pick up their 12-year-old. And I'm thinking, I'm old. Their son's 12, oh my life. But I saw him across the way and I just didn't think. I went up and I gave him a hug and said, it's so good to see you. Because I've not seen him in 12 and a half years. And the shock, because he was like, you've just given me a hug. And I'm like, yeah. And actually for him, that was his act of receiving kindness on that day. Because he'd had a fraught journey and all sorts. But also he got blessed because he could see the outworking of prayers that they used to pray for me back then, God, would you please soften her? So don't underestimate that power, that influence that you have. And receiving that accurate feedback from them, was it easy? No, it wasn't. In one way, was I hurt? Yes, I was. And I could have reacted in a very defensive way. But it was like, no. And okay, Holy Spirit, what are you wanting to show me here? So courage to give and receive that kind of encouragement, that kind of verbal feedback, is a key component of our growth. I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for who God had put into my life earlier. And he's still at work. But one of the biggest things about kindness is being kind to yourself. Are you kind to yourself? I know that I've had seasons where I haven't been, where I pick up my faults. There was a time when I couldn't have a mirror in my house because I couldn't bear the sight of my reflection. I used to hate my reflection. And when I looked in the mirror, if ever there was one, or reflection in the window, I was very derogatory about myself because lies that I'd grown up with, things that had happened in the past, had become my truth. And I'm so thankful that because of people's kindness, their love, their unconditional love, even when they'd get a verbal mouthful from me or a clout, they stuck with me, they stood by me. So do you treat yourself kindly? I look in the mirror now, I've actually got mirrors up in my, well, I've got one mirror up and one sat there still waiting to be put up. But when I stand and I look in that mirror, I am seeing me through God's eyes, or I'm trying to see me through my Father's eyes. I'm a delight. I am beautiful. I am the apple of his eye. He desires me intimately. Can't think of anything better than that. And as those truths have taken hold, so literally weight is dropping off me. Love it. So if you want to lose weight, start being kind to yourself and go and have that fried breakfast every once in a while. It does not kill you. There are, and I love, at the end of the day, tell yourself gently. This is you talking to yourself. I love you. You did the best you could today. And even if you didn't accomplish all you had planned, I love you anyway. What a fab ending to a day. And some of you might have people who can say that to you when you're in a bit of a naff day. Learning that for ourselves is key, being kind. And psychologists say perhaps if the world and we were kinder to ourselves and to others, that we would be more satisfied and our relationships would be strengthened. And the last one from a psychology point of view, that kindness is becoming the new mindfulness. I don't know if ever you've been to the doctors because you're in pain, because of mood, motivation, anxiety, but one of the buzzwords is, well, get yourself into a group looking at mindfulness. Get a little book on mindfulness. And that's just taking those 2 minutes to kind of step back out of the environment that you're in, the stuff that's going round in your head, and appreciating the leaves turning a beautiful different colour, the sound of the wind rustling through the leaves, being thankful that you can hear it. But there's some articles out about how kindness is becoming the latest buzzword. Are we becoming more compassionate? Because we live in quite an individualized society, don't we? You know, as long as what you're doing is what you want to do and it's not harming me, that's fine. But actually becoming more compassionate. So what about the word of God then? How does he encourage us to live? So we're reminded that kindness is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And fruit, if that tree, that bush, is planted firmly in the soil that it needs with the nutrients that it needs, it is natural for the tree to grow. And then it is natural for the tree to produce fruit. So if we're rooted in the Spirit, we should be producing fruit in our lives. And it's not about my striving for it. It's not about how much I practice being kind or how much I practice trying to be gentler in how I speak. Actually, it's Holy Spirit at work through me who enables those fruits to be born. So we'll be unpacking the rest of the fruits as we go through this. So the Bible in Ephesians 4:32 encourages us that kindness is to be lived out in a Christian's life as they reflect Christ to the world. So the picture there is, you know, when you drop a pebble in water and you have that ripple effect, to remember there's no such thing as a small act of kindness. Every act creates a ripple with no logical end. You might not know what the end is to your act of kindness. You know, Chris heard from his colleague, but actually we might have smiled at a complete stranger and it totally changed their day because we're the only smile they had in that day. So being kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave us. And then we're encouraged. Kindness is a matter of choice, Colossians 3:12. I get to choose whether I allow the Holy Spirit to be at work in my life and to be at work through me. I get to choose whether I am going to be kind to that person in that situation. The ESV says, put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness and patience. Put it on. You know, it's not something we automatically wear. We've got to choose to put it on. And I've got a little video clip, but we're going to come back to that towards the end, which is all about how we see ourselves and each other. We might come back to it at the end. Don't ever print out your slides and have them so small that you can't read them. So kindness is a part of the development of the discipleship pathway in your life. 2 Peter 1, 4-9. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. But if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It implies action, doesn't it? We can't just sit passively praying that God would change us and then not interact with anyone, not go out into the world and be in situations. And some of those situations are challenging. They're not always nice Garden of Roses situations, but that's how God molds and shapes us. And then the Bible encourages kindness to our enemies. Matthew 5:44. You know, loving your neighbour. Some of you will have heard my story over the years about, in my old job, my boss, who was a bit of a bully. She was my enemy. We believed in different faiths. Well, I had a good faith. She believed in an idol. Okay. And my prayers used to be, God, remove her or remove me. And Holy Spirit went, bless your enemies, love them, pray for them, do good to them. And I'm like, really? No, so 10 more years I was in that job. 10 more years. But in that time, blessing her, encouraging her, smiling when actually, I have to confess, sometimes I just wanted to smack her around the face. Not just because what she did and how she was with me, but how she was with others around. So there was a lot of repenting in the loo at that time. No, but it changed her because she was surprised that I was kind. She was surprised that I've always found a good thing to say about her when the others were gossiping and not being very pleasant, because she's got some brilliant skills as an interpreter. So being kind to our enemies. The Bible encourages kindness to complete strangers through the stories of Paul's experience. Paul ends up on this island. He's never been there before, Malta. Amongst a bunch of people he's never met. And he's absolutely blown away by their unusual kindness. I love that. I think, well, what is unusual kindness? What does it look like? Other translations use the term no little kindness, as in that encouragement that we would live lives that are completely lavishing kindness on everybody around us, every moment, opportunity that we get. Being lavish in that. And then kindness connects us better with your fellow man, Proverbs 19:22. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Loyalty, steadfastness, unfailing love. And God is kind, Joel 2:13. Rend your heart, not your garments. Now return to the Lord your God, who is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. That's our God. You know, it's not like some of the fathers of this world that don't show kindness, that don't show mercy, or who are good one minute and not so the next. His love for us is steadfast. It's unconditional. It never changes. And Psalm 31:21, I will praise you, Lord, for showing great kindness when I was like a city under attack. All of us that are here that know him know that, you know, the wages of our sin is death, tells us in the Bible. But that gift of God is life with him eternally. I can't think of a greater act of kindness than that. So we are encouraged by the Bible and word psychologists. Kindness is a reflection of what lives in our heart. Are you aware that what comes out of your mouth is what's stored up in your heart? So, you know, store up those good things, store up God's truths, his words. Because then in a moment of stress, actually his words hopefully will come abounding out of your mouth. And if they don't, be quick to apologize, to say sorry, make kindness the norm. Kindness is one of the most underrated traits in the world. We focus so much on material things and attention, but forget that it is kindness that brings us a fulfillment that warms our souls. No, kindness is love made visible, isn't it? You want your soul to be warmed? Ask God, what are the opportunities that I have today to show some kindness? What are there? So psychologists would say that being kind can strengthen your relationship and sense of satisfaction in life. Some of them would go so far as to say the most important predictor of satisfaction and stability in a marriage is being kind to one another. So you, in a marriage that's doing your head in a little bit, be kind to your spouse. Whether in one way they deserve it or not, be kind to them. It's amazing what can happen. Some in the world would say that, well, you know, if you're being kind, you're being a bit naive, you're being a bit weak. But that isn't the case. Being kind often requires courage and strength. You know, there are times when God will prompt me to do A, B, or C. Now, with some of the promptings, it might be quite easy because it might just be sending a text to somebody. With some of them, it might cost me financially. And I'm like, but what about that bill? But what about? Do it. And I do it, and oh man, the sense of blessing that comes to me. You know, I might not know the sense of blessing that comes to the reciprocant, but just in that being obedient to him, allowing that fruit to come forth, nothing better. Some say that kindness is an interpersonal skill. Well, for me, kindness is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And I found this picture, which in one way, we're encouraged, aren't we, to live each day as if it is our last, because none of us know what's around the bend in the road. None of us know our appointed time. Beginning today, treat everyone you meet as if they were going to be dead at midnight. Well, a bit steep, isn't it? Extend to them all the care, kindness, and understanding you can muster, and do it with no thought of any reward. Now, I don't know, you might have been in scenarios like me when I was younger. If people were being nice to me, if people were being kind, It was because they wanted something from me or they wanted to do something to me. And so to get out of that protective shell over the years of when someone's said something nice or loving or kind to me, that changing of my thinking, what are they after? What are they going to do? What are they going to take from me? How are they going to hurt me? It's taken years. But thankfully, God's brought me through. So, you know, we don't know what's around the bend in the road. We don't know how much time we've been given, so make the most of the time that we have. Make the most of it. I've realised more and more the times when I haven't acted or thought in a kind manner. I might have been a little bit sharper than I actually meant to be. But the beauty of the fruit of the Holy Spirit is that all we have to do is stay connected to Him. And that all is a hard all, isn't it? Because actually sometimes in the rubbish of life, or you want to, well, if you're like me, you just want to crawl into bed and pull the duvet over and think, come on tomorrow. You know, but actually in that moment, no, Holy Spirit, will you come? Will you mould me? Will you shape me? Will you show me what you're doing in this, what you're wanting to do in me, what you're wanting to do through me? Because if we stay connected, we stay rooted in, then we should naturally be changed from the inside out. Because that's what Holy Spirit does, if we let Him. There should be that fruit evident in your life. So for me, I can believe those lies of depression and all that rubbish. But there are times when I have to go to someone and say, what is the truth? There's somebody I've got an agreement with that actually they will tell me, I can see the Holy Spirit at work on you and in you. And I've got an agreement with them. If ever they see that change, they will tell me. And for me, that's a real help because I just know that actually I'm in a place where I'm going to receive truth. So if you're not seeing fruit in your life, the hard thing then is to sit and have a little bit of reflection and think, okay, God, then actually, am I, Holy Spirit, staying as connected with you as you want me to be? Are we staying connected? Are we remaining humble before Him? Here I am, Lord. Speak what is true. We might not want to hear it sometimes, but to be the best of who He's called us to be is hearing that and allowing Him to change us. Do we bring everything before our God, our Abba, our King? Here it is, Lord. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Because He knows it all anyway. And He loves us just the same. I now struggle on a daily basis to remain connected. We all do. I'm only human. We all are, aren't we? None of us is perfect. But that is why Holy Spirit came. To enable me, to empower me, to mould me, to shape me. And Amelia Earhart once said, a single act of kindness throws out roots in all directions and the roots spring up and make new trees. Are you aware that Holy Spirit has gifted you with words and acts that He wants you to be giving out, that He wants you to be sowing into the lives of those around us, into the situations that we are in, at work, at the school gate. So give Holy Spirit that time, that space, that permission to work in you and to work through you. And here's something that I was challenged with recently. What do you want to be known for? What would you want to see written as your obituary? Can't say the word. You know, that little notice that goes in the paper, Lisa Mead passed away on da 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 da. What would you want to see written about you? What stories would you want to hear shared at your funeral? I know I'd want the gospel preached, especially if some of my family who don't know Him yet are there, but you know, what would you want others to be saying about you? Don't leave it too late. How great would we all feel going through life, showing that kindness, that care, that love? I'm still learning. I find it very hard to say to somebody, I love you. I care about you. You are an important part of my life. Still can't say it properly. I only just managed in the last few years to be able to say it to my mum. You know, and she's like, what? You know, and I give her a hug now. And not only that, but she hugs me now. And she tells me she loves me. It wasn't language that was in our household when we were younger. It wasn't language that she learned growing up either. You know, so showing kindness, care, love is because God first showed those things to us. That's why we're here. You know, we're his representation on this glorious earth. So let us be free in sowing those seeds, trusting God to provide the right nutrients and food for the Holy Spirit to cause roots to go out in all different directions and new trees to spring up. Because when new trees spring up and they grow, what do they produce? Fruit. Do you want to see change in your marriage, other relationships, at work, school, wherever? Then ask God to empower you to be him in that place. To show kindness, care, love. To speak compassionately. To speak gently. We can't do it in our own strength. It's impossible. And it doesn't last very long if it's in our own strength. But the beauty is that the Holy Spirit gives us the strength to be, to do, to say from within. There was a clip I was going to show, but I'm not going to show it. But if you look online, it will be in the PowerPoint. Or go and Google a guy called David Flood. He goes around doing inspirational speeches to high school kids. And he asks them this question. Okay. He gets them to look at each other. And he says, you're going to say this. When I look at you, I see blankety blank. When I look at Wendy, I see, what do I see? A woman of good character. So he gets all these high school, you know, I could get you all doing it, but I'll be gentle and kind. I won't get you doing it, okay? Because I actually want to move into a bit of worship. But then he stands up and he gets, you know, he picks on one of the kids. I feel sorry for him, really, in front of all these hundreds. And so they say to him, Mr. Flood, I see before me a smart man. Great, because he is smart. But he turns around to them and he says, Marie, when I look at you, I see me. And he's talking about not looking at how we are. Are we the same tone of skin, the same hair colour or anything like that? And he goes on to talk about seeing each other on the inside. And he gets the high school kids pondering, well, what do you mean? And they talk about the heart and the brain and all of that. No, it's about the soul. No, what do we see in each other? And then he tells the story about he's got a son who has autism. So his son looks quite like some of his classmates. He loves anime. He loves wrestling. But he cannot join in with conversation in that he doesn't know when it's appropriate to start in on that conversation. He often would sit alone when he was younger in dinner because he didn't know how to interact with others. And he learned to ice skate and he learned to play ice hockey, which was my sport. So I'd encourage you to have a look on the video because this dad is going around talking to hundreds of thousands of young people, sharing the story of an act of kindness that his son received. They were in the last match of the season. They were losing. And his son is asked to get on the ice. His son's not as quick in some of his reactions as perhaps some of his teammates. But he gets on the ice. He gets the puck. He goes for goal. He shoots. The puck rebounds off the padding. You need a lot of padding when you're playing ice hockey. And he shoots it into the back of the net. And there's cheering. And the father's talking about how he's in tears because he knows what that other team have done. He knows that that other team could have had that lad banged up against the side of the rink, getting the puck off him. but they didn't do that. So he goes over to the other coach to shake his hand and say thank you. And he says, no, he says, thank the lads. Now, these are 10 and 11-year-olds who have just given a lad the best feeling ever because they end up winning that game because of the shot that he shoots. They didn't have to do that, but it was an act of kindness. So what acts of kindness is God wanting to give you, but it's also wanting you to give others. And as I've been kind of preparing for this, constantly through my head has been going that song, "Here's My Heart, Lord, Speak What Is True." Irrespective of circumstances that I'm in, irrespective of traumatic news that I hear, irrespective of what is in my head and in my heart, speak what is true. And I would encourage you to sing it. But as we're singing it, Holy Spirit, what is it that you are wanting to show me today? What truths are you wanting to whisper to me today? It might be about kindness, it could be about something else. But allow Holy Spirit to speak what is true to you, because he's not wanting to condemn you. So there might be some things he says, you need to go and say sorry for that. You need to go and repent for that. You need to go and fix that. But speak what is true. And then we sing the truth of who we are in him. Is that okay?